This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Back in 2002, I heard a jazz record that spoke to me. As soon as I heard it, I thought, not only is jazz not dead, but it's alive and kicking in a way that seriously appeals to me, and I am not exactly a jazzophile. The record was called Modernistic, and the title track was a great version of James P. Johnson's 1937 stride tune, You've Gotta Be Modernistic. Jason Moran, the pianist who made the album, and just 27 at the time, was both a student of the classics and a card-carrying member of the hip-hop generation. And it shows in his music. 8 years on, his new record, 10, continues to draw on all those disparate influences, not to mention dance and high design and visual art. Jason Moran, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
So here we are at the Great Steinway. You just told me this is a considerably bigger, better instrument than you, the virtuoso, play on at home.
Yeah, I have an upright Kauai, and this is a Steinway Model B. And my upright Kauai is the one that I've had since I was like 7. So
it must be a pleasure for you to come and play on the big boy's instrument.
You have to move up in life.
So. Yeah. Now, before you met this piano, before Bandwagon, before you were signed to Blue Note at age 18, amazingly, in the 1990s, you grew up in the suburb of Houston, Texas.
Right. Well, I grew up in the city of
in Houston,
center of Houston.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't want to say suburbs because Third Ward is not a suburb. Third Ward is kind of like a pretty historic African-American neighborhood in Houston.
Although Houston to us New Yorkers seems all like just a bunch of suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Houston was actually founded by New Yorkers, and so it's kind of, and it's also the place where air conditioning was invented.
And I wouldn't have visited had it not been invented. What was growing up in Houston like?
Well, you know, it's a large city, but I think musically, what I remember most importantly was kind of like the prevalence of blues in the city, and also kind of like, you know, R&B and gospel music was a pretty big kind of sound that you would hear, you know, throughout the city. And some of those sounds still kind of haunt me in a good way today.
And you, as a kid, as a little kid, you took classical music piano lessons.
Right. Suzuki. That's, you know, like classical light.
Really?
I think so. But yeah. It's really great for children, you know, and I ended up stopping right around puberty because I heard Thelonious Monk. And so then I was like, oh, well, good. I can jump ship off of this
really
classical thing and jump into something else.
At 13, Thelonious took you away from classical piano and said, okay, I found my thing.
Right. It was pretty clear like that. And
do you remember the moment?
Well, I was walking in my parents' room and they're watching, you know, television. They had watched a friend of theirs had died in a plane crash, this politician in Houston, and there's no sound on the TV, and my father put on this record of Thelonious Monk playing Round Midnight, and I was like, what is that sound? Who is this person? And then the love affair began.
Why did Monk's music affect you, touch you, beyond the fact of this plane crash grief moment?
I think partially because it just sounded so different from what I was playing at the piano. And so here's another guy who plays just the piano, you know, and he's playing solo, and he's not playing Mozart. He's playing this piece of music, which is his. And I'd been, you know, my parents played jazz in the car, you know, when we're driving places. I was like, we like turn that off, you know, we want to hear other stuff. And, but it was that it was so different. And he made the piano sound, you know, actually really human. And I had never really associated anything with the piano as being human, as being emotional, even, you know, because you're there. Nobody's telling you when you're playing. Well, I don't know. My teacher wasn't telling me when I was 10 years old. Okay, when you play Mozart, you really have to think of jumping into this pool naked with flowers. You know, nobody's saying that, you know. they're saying, watch your fourth finger, and you got to go from piano to forte here, and you know your touch is wrong there.
So somehow that moment in being 13 and being good enough at the piano to see hear what that was really doing was that was the aha moment for you.
That was the moment, and it was really, I mean, I don't know, I kind of like was possessed by him, and still am possessed by kind of what he contributed to, like, basically to my life.
Well, and you've included one of his most beloved tunes on this new album.
Right. Crepuscule with Nelly, which is a love song for his wife.
Why did you choose that?
Because it's a love song for his wife.
Crepuscule meaning twilight.
Right.
Will you play it?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. That was Jason Moran performing Thelonious Monk's Crepuscule with Nelly. Now, that you play that beautifully, not like Thelonious Monk plays it.
Right. Well, that's the part of the challenge of playing a Thelonious Monk, I think, especially for me, since he's so attached to my DNA, my music DNA, I had to kind of cut him up. I have to perform surgery on his songs.
Recombinant DNA.
Yes.
And you make it sort of, I mean, it's not a song that swings hard, but it swings a little harder the way you do it.
Yeah, well, that's 2010, hopefully.
Yeah, versus 1959.
Also, that's a byproduct of listening to a lot of hip-hop records and growing up in the 80s when sampling was heavy, heavy, heavy duty in the 90s, still was prevalent, and learning kind of a lot about music from listening to just the original samples that, say, Run DMC used, or Public Enemy, or
deconstructing it.
Yeah, or Mobb Deep, or, you know, when I learned how to use a sampler at Manhattan School of Music, that was like a great day. Also, the goal was hopefully one day I'll be sampled, because, you know, the people they're sampling, like Art Blakey, Horace Silver, you know, James Brown, Parliament Funkadelic. I mean, they're sampling great bands.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know.
Right.
So sometimes during a recording session, I'll like look, like I'll listen to it again saying, where is the moment that could be sampled by, you know, Madlib? You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't think of myself when I discovered your Modernistic, your solo record in 2002. When I first heard that, I didn't think of myself as a person who likes jazz piano. And I suddenly thought, I love this. Now, why do I love this? And I loved this song, Planet Rock.
Right.
And I didn't know what that was referring to, which is what?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
African Bambaataa.
Yeah, Africa Bambaataa, this kind of
hip hop classic.
Yeah, it's like the round midnight of, you know, of hip hop.
And what did I know, being an old guy at the time?
But, you know, like also in that song is like he samples Kraftwerk's Trans-Europe Express. You know, like it's kind of like
my Kraftwerk, I knew.
All this great appropriation going on. And the artists that I really love really kind of know how to just...
There's a like, respectful conversation going on.
Yes, it is. It's very respectful.
Well, let's listen to you, if you wouldn't mind playing Planet Rock, to see how you translated that into your jazz idiom.
Sure, sure.
Now, what are you doing exactly?
Yeah, I put some Ebos on it. An Ebo is a little device that makes the string vibrate. It resonates the string, so it's holding it on its own to create a drone for me.
Cool.
I'm testing this out.
All right.
Thank you.
So cool. Jason Moran performing Planet Rock. Now, what inspired you in that particular case to say, I want to turn this into jazz?
Well, I didn't think about it as turning it into anything. Because as a player, I kind of was always just trying to learn whatever I liked.
Right.
I mean, and that's,
without categories.
Right. And so kind of taking Planet Rock, I knew that as a challenge was to think about that song away from that great drum beat that it has. And I play the lyrics, you know, and I play the hook.
Play the lyrics
song.
In what sense?
Like, it's time to chase your dreams. Jump out your seats.
Right, make your body shake.
Socialize, get down, make your soul lose control. Take it down, go, ladies. You know, like I play the whole thing.
Right.
Like, that's language.
Uh-huh.
If somebody's listening in the audience and they know the song, sometimes they start to yell out the lyrics while I'm playing them. And some people think I'm just fooling around. Both are valid.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, since these two different worlds, I mean, the people, the hip-hop people who know the song, what do they think of this? They think, oh, that's cool.
I don't know. I don't know what they – I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if Bambaataa – I think he's heard it. But
I'll bet he has.
You know, like, that's the thing with kind of hip-hop and jazz, and many times it just hasn't really worked for me. So, you know, I want to try it, though. I still think there's a way to do it. And so it'd be myself at a piano and – someone like Black Thought from The Roots or Ghostface from Wu-Tang or like an MC that can really like tread some different kind of water. And we kind of could see what then happens in this kind of very naked sense. You know, there's no rah-rah from all the entourage. There's no drummer.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Well, there you go.
But I'm...
He's put it out.
I'm trying to be brave and make this happen.
Jason Moran, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ten, the new album from Jason Moran and his group Bandwagon, is out right now. And at our website, you can hear another exclusive song performed by Jason. This one inspired by the famous quilts made by the ladies of G's Bend, Alabama. That's at studio360.org. And by the way, if you like hearing Jason Moran play, you can download the free podcast of our program at studio360.org and then hear all those songs whenever and wherever you like.